It's all your prayers tonight that the Spirit of the Lord would accompany His Word, that we would each one be edified and challenged and encouraged tonight, written on the board, forsake all. That doesn't sound very politically correct. And it's not a very popular term in the religious world today. We would maybe be a little more comforted to be able to go to service and hear what the religious world is teaching today. They're teaching that if there's a promotion that's coming due on at your workplace, that it's God's people that are due the promotion. When the pay raises come along, that God, we deserve it. God's people deserve the pay raises. They're teaching and preaching a message that if you are sick, God will deliver you from all of that sickness. The world is promoting a message of Christ that is one of wisdom and health. Wealth and wisdom, and everything will go good for you if you follow the Lord. But that's not what I read in my Bible tonight. But I read of a message of victory for God's people. I read of a message of comfort, a message of strength, a message of courage in the face of opposition. I read a gospel of hope tonight, and I'm thankful to have found that experience as a reality. And tonight, if you do not have that real hope in your heart, if you do not have that the real blessings in your life that come from God, I want you to know that there is that experience for all of us tonight. It does not matter what your social economic status is. It doesn't matter how much you have in the bank tonight. It doesn't matter what your history has been. The Lord has an experience for all of us in our uniqueness, in our differences, in our personalities. There is an experience that God has for all of us that He can give us peace and victory. And I believe tonight that the key in one of the great answers that the world is missing out on is they're not approaching God like He told them to approach Him. If you'll turn with me over to the 14th chapter of Luke, we'll begin reading. And these words tonight are not my words. They are not words that a body of ministers voted on. These are not words, again, that many people find spiritually palatable. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And folks, in the words of Christ, there is life tonight. In the 14th chapter of Luke, we'll begin reading with the 25th verse. He said, "There went great multitudes with Him, and He turned unto them and said..." I want us to take note, first of all, tonight, that there was a great multitude that Jesus was speaking to. Some of the words tonight that people think that we ought to teach in amidst like this. Congregation comes together. We can say you better be real careful about the words you speak because we don't want someone to be offended. Isn't that kind of our thought process sometimes when we go to meeting? Do you know I don't want anybody to be offended tonight either? But I also recognize that if we try to doctor up the gospel with nice sounding words, we're going to miss the essence of what the gospel is about. Jesus came and gave us the words in which if we follow them, we can have eternal life. And the Lord wants all of us tonight to make heaven our home. And we can't all make it our home. But folks, we're not going to get it by the way that sounds politically correct in our generation. We're going to have eternal life if we will take the words of Jesus Christ and let them have preeminence in our life. Jesus was not speaking to the select 12. He was speaking to the multitudes. And He turned to them and said, "If any man will come after Me..." Is that our desire tonight, to come after the Lord? You desire to have the blessings that God has for us tonight, and you want to go after the Lord? Jesus told us how to do it here. He said, "If any man will come after Me and hate not his father and his mother, and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This was a definitive doctrinal statement from Christ himself. He said, if, folks, if is conditional. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to follow the Lord, Jesus said, if you don't hate, in essence, family members and your own life, you can't be my disciple. Now, why would Jesus use words like that to a great multitude? It seems like that this would be rife for misunderstandings. Jesus was, the essence of this word hate here, it means to love less. If you do not, he wasn't saying have animosity towards your family or own life. We know the scripture teaches us to love and honor our parents. It teaches us to sacrifice brethren to our wives. We are to put our wives before our own welfare, are we not? That's scriptural. But Jesus was saying, if you want to be my disciple, and if you want to follow me, you're going to have to love me more than everything else in your life. And he said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Folks, this flies in the face of what the religious world is promoting. And I'm going to go a step further. It doesn't matter whether you hear differently from across this pulpit or you go to camp meeting. And if anybody teaches another gospel, it is not the gospel that Jesus came to bring. He said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to love me more than everything else. You're going to have to love me more than life itself. You're going to have to love me, and he said, and take up your cross. Tonight, if we are not willing to take up our cross, which is a symbol of death, it's a symbol of dying out. If we are not willing to die out to those things that are unlike the Lord in our life, we cannot be his disciple. And it seemed like right away Jesus was alienating the multitudes. And if you start feeling a little alienated with what I'm saying tonight, it's what Jesus said. Because he wanted these people to know what it meant to follow him. Have you ever bought a used car? That's all I've ever bought. And I will, and if you're a used car salesman, I'm sorry. I mean, not that you're a used car salesman, but don't be offended at what I'm going to say. But I have difficulty buying used cars. Because, you know, most places I've bought used cars, they're not there to point out all the problems. And I've had more than one of them just flat out lie to me. When you could see the evidence, and they lied over and over and over. Because what they want to do is they want to sell the car at any cost. They at the expense of their own integrity. That you go on a used car lot and they point out, oh, look how pretty this car is. And oh, this is above all the other. Now this car will get you where you need to go. And they'll point out all the wonderful attributes of that car. But many times they won't tell you the inner problems that you don't just see right away. You know, you have to drive a vehicle for a while sometimes before you start recognizing the things that are wrong with it. You know, many salesmen, not just car salesmen, but salesmen, they're wanting to represent their product and they're wanting to tell you all the benefits of it. Do you know that Jesus did not do that? Jesus was, he was up front. If you're going to be my disciple, there's joy for you. There's peace, there's victory if you'll follow me. And Jesus taught us that too, didn't he? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Folks, that's a promise to us tonight. If you're troubled tonight and you're burdened down, there is comfort and hope and victory in Jesus Christ. But it's more than coming to church and feeling warm and fuzzy when I hear about how God loves me in spite of everything else. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, there is a cross for you to take up. If you're going to be my disciple and you want to experience victory in your life, you're going to have to deny in all other things in your life and love me more. Let me have preeminence in your love and your affections. Jesus was discouraging superficial discipleship here. Do we, Lord help us, have you ever been tempted to do that? We want to make the gospel palatable to people. Don't step on anybody's toes. We want to dress it up and make it always look and sound beautiful. But do you know tonight that Jesus, there's nothing more beautiful than the gospel. You see, but the gospel stands on its own merits tonight. God does not need me to dress it up. But yet Jesus was upright and forthright with the multitude, and with all of the victory and with the peace, there's a price to pay if you want it. I have found that the greatest victories that I've had in my life came through a death and denial of myself. The greatest experiences that I have had in the presence of God oftentimes have come through some of the most difficult trials and battles of my life. But through those battles and through those trials, I found the presence of God was rich. But it takes something, folks. It takes something to have the blessings of salvation. It takes a cross. It takes the denial of oneself. And we live in a society, in a world that is preaching Jesus. We are. They're preaching Jesus, but folks, they're not preaching the cross. If you want to find the resurrected life, you're going to have to go by way of the cross tonight. If you are not experiencing the victory that we sang about in the song service tonight, if you're not experiencing the comfort of the Spirit, and if you're not experiencing that real joy in life, we're not talking just about theology now, I'm talking about a personal experience with God. If you're not experiencing that, folks, it's available. But to get it, there is a cross. And there is a place, he went on to say, which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And he goes on and talks about the king that goes out to war. And he does not consider the enemy that he's facing. And he goes out and he loses the battle. In other words, count the cost. And he said, so likewise, and this is the crux of what Jesus was getting to. He said, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Is this truth tonight? It's simple, folks. This isn't complicated. But how hard is it for us tonight to say, Lord, I'm going to put you first in my life. Lord, I am now willing. Lord, I really want to be your disciple. I want to experience the victories and the joy and the comfort. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want to make heaven. Folks, the only way we can make heaven tonight is by way of the cross. The only way tonight that we can experience the fullness of the blessings of God is to do just what Jesus said, and that is to forsake everything to follow our Lord. So he said, count the cost. Do you know tonight it's a blessing when we come to meetings and we're moved by emotion? And we're moved by the moment of the, maybe even the Spirit of the Lord, we're moved by that. But do you know that I will go a step further and say in my individual life, that the deaths that I've had to come to, and the crosses that the Lord has brought, more often than not, it's not been when you've been there beside me.
It's been when I've been out with my family. I've been out and alone and been in some lonely places. And the Lord came along and began to point things out in my life that said, Michael, you need to change this. Michael, you need to give this up. Michael, there's an attitude that's festering there that's unlike me, and I want you to forsake that and give it to me. Folks, the victory comes in our life when we will forsake all of the things that are hindering us in our relationship with God and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. To forsake means to renounce. He that will not forsake all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Folks, the Lord cannot bless us if we have divided loyalties tonight. If our loyalties are divided, and it's not enough to come to service and testify to being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, it is an issue, folks, of the condition of my heart, and God knows where that is tonight, just like He knows the condition of your heart. And if our heart and our spirit, there are divided loyalties, that we say, Lord, I want to follow You, and I'm following You in a lot of ways, it's the other ways that are going to keep us from the victories, folks. It's those things in our life that we may be holding on to, not willing to take our hands off. And many times what the enemy would like us to do in those areas that are unlike the Lord, we'll say, I'll manage it. Have you ever tried to manage something that the Spirit of God put His hand on in your life with? And you were a little uncomfortable with it and you knew that it was a hindrance to you spiritually? And you knew that God wasn't really pleased with it and you thought, okay, I need to be careful there. I need to be a little more careful, and I need to, you know, I'm going to manage that, and I'm going to control this, and I'm going to be extra diligent. What did Jesus say? He said to forsake it. Folks, there are too many professing Christians tonight that are trying to manage things in their lives and in their homes that God is not pleased with. And when we try to manage our attitudes and we try to manage animosities and think, I can't let it get out of hand, in other words, I'm going to control it. Those are the things that can keep us from experiencing the victories that the Lord came to give to us. To forsake, it means to bid adieu. What things in your life have you actually bid adieu to? And actually just bid farewell to, forsook, renounced, and said, I'm going to give this up. You know what the world is promoting, what the enemy would like to come right in among the saints and cause us to think that we can have the best of both worlds. I can have Jesus without the cross, and I can have all the things of the world without the contamination of the world. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Think about some of the brethren that we've been in communication with in Pakistan. There are some of those that, brother, that we've had have correspondence with from time to time. He said that the Muslims came in to their communities, in their surrounding villages, and they burned the homes of some of the Christians there. They threw acid on the women. They brutalized the people. And these people are still serving Jesus Christ. You think, at the peril of their life is on the line, and they are willing to bid farewell to family and friends. They're willing to bid farewell to money. Do you know in Pakistan, the brother told me, he said that the Christians in our country, he said, are the poorest people here. Because he said when we try to start businesses, the Muslims won't do business with us. And he said, so the majority of the Christians, they're the ones doing the menial jobs. They're sweeping the streets. They're doing the things that don't pay very much because it's all the work that they can find to do because others won't employ them. And we have to say, is it really worth it? Could they not hide their Christianity and say, Lord, you know my heart, I love you, but I'm just going to kind of melt into society and be part of society? But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to forsake everything else. And I wonder tonight, what things are there in our life that we're holding on to that we know are hindering our walk with God? You see, we can sing the song, and it's okay if we sing it. The song says, search me, O God, and know my heart as if like it's some mystery what's in our heart. I know the Lord shows us. But do you know, more often than not, we ask God to search us. But do you know, more often than not, we already know what He's searching out. More often than not, we know the things that God has put His hand on in our life. Question to you tonight is, what are we doing with those things? Are we managing it? Or have we forsaken it and say, Lord, you've touched on an area of my life I know you've called for. Do you know, have you noticed people don't like the minister to get on things? Is that a pretty correct assessment? Okay. That's kind of the feeling I get too, Sister Maxine. Because people get uncomfortable. We want to be left in the condition that I can serve the Lord my own way and don't touch on things in my life. But do you know, more often than not, aren't they things in our heart and things in our life that tend to hinder us in our walk with God? Have you ever noticed that? I agree with you. I concur. You don't need me to go home with you and write a big old list on the board. The board's not big enough. But we need to examine our own life then. Because there are things tonight that the enemy would like to come right in our homes, right in our lives, and all the time we can say, I'm going to manage it. And all the time we are uncomfortable when we couple that thing with the Holy Spirit. I know I can't just say it's holy, but I think I can do it and keep saved. That's the wrong approach. The things that are in our life, the places we go and the things we do and the things we involve ourselves in, if we do not experience the blessing of God in those areas, we always start feeling a little bit lean spiritually. There's an answer tonight, and we can pull our hair and say, I just don't know what to do about it. I have the answer for you tonight. The Lord has the answer. He said, forsake all. Give up the things that are hindering you spiritually tonight. Because I find that many times, people that seek the Lord year after year after year, wanting to be saved again. There is healing for backsliding tonight. But you're never going to be healed of your backsliding if you're not willing to forsake everything and follow Jesus. And some say, well, I'll wait till I seek for the Holy Spirit. No, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to love me more than everything else. And so that means if I'm not experiencing tonight the joy, the blessings, and the victory in my soul, I better start examining my life and say, what are the things in my life that I know have been a perpetual hindrance to me? And the Lord's saying, can you come and give them up for me? Can you come and lay Him down on the altar and allow me then to give you grace that I can pour out blessings on your life? We think about those that are sacrificing so much in other places to follow Jesus. Why is it so hard for us sometimes to give things up that we know are hindering us spiritually? And parents, we have a great responsibility for our children tonight. There are battles tonight that children, many children and young people, I'm going to preach where we're at, folks, right among the saints are struggling with today because mom and dad didn't forsake it. And what I think I can manage, my children might not be able to, and the fact of the matter is I can't myself either. But there are too many things that the enemy would like to creep in right among us, and we are paying a price tonight. God's people are paying a price tonight from things that have been allowed to occupy our minds and our time and our energy and our money because mom and dad were willing to forsake it. And now our children are paying the price. It's not meant to be a condemnation. But Lord, help us as parents to deal with things in our life that I don't have to pass these battles down to my children. Folks, if we want to follow Jesus tonight and want to experience His blessings, we must. It's non-negotiable, folks. You know what the salesmen do next? Well, they don't want to talk about price, right? You say, well, how much is it? How many times? Well, but look at this over here. Oh, I have another car over here. I have something. They don't want to talk about price until the very last. And then you can start negotiating. The price is too high. You know, if you go onto a car lot and you pay what they ask you, you pay too much. You pay too much. Because they will negotiate. God won't negotiate. God's not going to negotiate with you, folks. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, He said, you're going to have to forsake all. Is that unreasonable? Let me ask those that are married here tonight. Is it unreasonable for our husband or wife to expect that from us? I said in my vows, forsaking all others. Because if you want to find the beauty in marriage, it's not bondage. But it is bondage if in your heart you have not forsaken all others. That's why families are so, one of the reasons there's so much trouble in families today, because there's not that love. I give you my love and my devotion, and I forsake everything else and everybody else that will hinder the relationship that we have in our home. Folks, it's not unreasonable for a husband and wife to require that, is it? Forsaking all others. It's not bondage. It's not, oh, I have to do this. When you got married, didn't you do it with joy? If you didn't, you shouldn't have been getting married to start with. But wasn't it with joy? Do you know that's what salvation is tonight? It's not about bondage. It's not about saying, well, if you go to church over there, you can't do this and you can't do that. We've missed it right there. This is about a love relationship with the Lord. That I don't do that because I found something better. And when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to have a relationship that I can bless your life, that's not about bondage. It's about the Lord saying, I've got something wonderful to give to you, but I can only give to you if your hands are empty. But if we go taking all our stuff with us on the journey, the Lord can't bless us like He wants to. It's where the young rich ruler got in trouble, isn't it? Remember, he came to Jesus and he said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Don't all of us want to inherit eternal life tonight? Lord, I want to make it. I want to go to heaven tonight. But Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. See, he went through the list of all the commandments first, right? And the young man was measured up. And don't we feel good when we come to church message? Go, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm doing good there. And I'm no one stepping on my toes. I'm measured up there and measured up there. And oh, yes, we can go away feeling good. But Jesus came along and He knew where our heart was. And folks, I know the Lord knows my heart and He knows your heart tonight. And He knows exactly where our love is. He knows the things we've been doing. He knows where our affections are. And He knows in our spirit, if we truly forsaken all, He said, Lord, I'm yours. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. And He told the young man, He said, there's one thing that you lack. He said, go and sell most of what you have. Is that right? He said, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor and then come and follow. Jesus was not willing to compromise truth for the multitudes, folks. Jesus was not willing to compromise truth to be politically expedient. He told it like it was and said, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to follow me. I want to bless your life. But you're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to have to forsake those things
that are unlike me. And that's the reason why I started to talk about sometimes there's so many people, it seems like that there's a pattern of backsliding. Do you know the answer to that is right here tonight? It's I'm going to forsake because I've observed and watched, and it seems like many times people that get in that rut, they're falling over the same thing. Usually it's the same things over and over and over. Folks, the Lord is not going to negotiate with us that we can just come and say, okay, Lord, I'll give you this, but I'm going to still keep this in my life. The Lord's saying, I want you to follow me, but if you do, you're going to have to forsake all. But if you forsake all, folks, the rewards that come with it, it's worth it tonight. It's worth it. Do you remember? We won't take the time to read all these examples, but remember when Jesus was walking down along the seashore and he saw Peter and Andrew and he said, come and follow me. Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It said they immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Tonight, I ask in love, are there some things that are hindering us that we're not quite willing to leave behind? You see what's happening in the... I can blame the world, but folks, it's not just out there. It's not just out there. The enemy would like to make us think that we can just still follow the Lord and we still have our nets. We're clinging to our nets. We're clinging to the things that I like and I'm comfortable and this is what I've always done and I've always gone there and I've always done that. And so, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but I've got my nets packed up and I'm going to take them with me. And the Lord's saying, I want you to forsake them because I'm going to give you something better. Folks, for everything that God calls for in our life that requires sacrifice, God will give you something that's better than what you have to give up. But we cannot coexist in a relationship with God where we have not forsaken all. At least, that's what the Scripture teaches us tonight. Remember, Elijah came along and he threw his mantle on Elisha. And Elisha ran after him and he said, I want to follow you. I want to go with you. Let me go. Kiss my mother and father goodbye, and I'm going to follow you. And it said Elisha, that's found over in 1 Kings 19. Elisha went, and he'd been plowing. He'd been plowing the field when Elijah came along and cast his mantle on him. And it said Elisha went back, and he took a yoke of oxen, and he sacrificed it. And he burned the instruments. He took the actual yoke and the plow, and he burned it. And he went and he followed Elijah. He burned up his backup plan. Folks, I believe what the sister's saying tonight. God has a work for all of us to do. God has something for all of us to do for him. But folks, we're going to have to forsake everything and follow the Lord. And folks, that's where the blessings are going to be found. So many people are wanting to follow the Lord on their own terms. And they try to reason how they can have all of it together. But this is the reason. It's a familiar passage over in 1 John, the second chapter. The Scripture says in verse 15, it said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what? The love of the Father is not in him. You say, we start getting uncomfortable with black and whites now, don't we? You know, these are declarative statements that are made in Scripture. That John said, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said, straight out, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Consider, it's not a harsh saying, folks, because it's just like marriage. If you want to have a blessed marriage, you will forsake. You will forsake everybody else. That's not unreasonable. And he's saying if you let your love and your affection start to go out to the things of this world, he said, I can't coexist
in that kind of a relationship.
I'd like to read over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It said, let us lay aside. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every. Do you know what every means? It means the same thing as all. It's inclusive of. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I wonder tonight if there's anyone here that is being hindered in your experience with God. The Lord is calling tonight for us to forsake everything that is unlike Him and be willing to lay some things down tonight. Be willing to come and say, Lord, I know the things I've been struggling with and I just keep trying to manage it. And the Lord's wanting us to come and present our bodies a living sacrifice to give Him our love, give Him our devotion. And when other people around us say, you really don't have to give that up, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to be swayed by? When others say, you really don't have to live like that, but you know it's been a hindrance to you spiritually, the Lord Jesus has given us the answer. Alexander the Great won many mighty battles. And he had been in Persia and had conquered Persia, and he was on his way with his army somewhere else to go conquer some more territory. But the problem was, where they had been, they had gotten a lot of loot. They had gone through Persia and the army had gathered up all the silver and gold and all the treasures of the land. And they were burdened down, and here they were supposed to go conquer some more land. But they weren't getting very far very fast because they were weighted down with the loot. And finally, Alexander the Great stopped him. And he said, I want you to put all this stuff in a pile and I want you to burn it. The things that they valued, the things that they had felt like they had justly won, the things that they had accumulated in their life. And Alexander the Great said, let's burn it because it's slowing us down and it's hindering us from moving forward to the next battle. And so they burned it. History says then that Alexander the Great and his army moved along as if they were on wings. Tonight, the Lord wants your experience in Him to be progressing, going forward. The Lord wants to inspire. He wants to invigorate. He wants to give you greater victories than what you've had before. And tonight, it's not saying that if there are things that God has shown you tonight, He's not going to rob you of your salvation. But folks, if we don't do business with God when He points things out to us, it will hinder us spiritually, and eventually we will lose our soul over those things. It doesn't happen overnight, but folks, the devil doesn't care how long it takes. Where are our affections tonight? I think the Lord would like there to be some more bonfires. I remember as a child from time to time hearing stories about someone getting saved and they would literally go out and stone things. They'd literally go out with the shotguns and blow things up that they knew God wasn't pleased with in their life. Putting stuff on the railroad tracks, the things they'd been listening to, the things they'd been doing, we're getting rid of it. But folks, what are we doing tonight? Too many times I'll just start to follow the Lord and see how it goes and see if the Lord really convicts me strongly. Folks, we're dabbling with our life tonight. This is a do or die thing tonight. If you want to follow me, Jesus said, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to forsake it all. It's life and death, folks. So I ask you tonight, what are you holding on to? What's in your life? What are the things that have been hindering? And the Lord all the time, it's in love. He's saying, I have something so much better for you. I have something so better that's of so much more value. I've got victory, peace, comfort.
Folks, those things, we hear them so often, it just becomes words sometimes. Do you know that there is a reality to victory? There is a reality to a consistent experience with the Lord, but we find it when we come back to the words of Jesus and said, if a man doth not forsake all, he cannot be my disciple. Folks, the pearl of great price, the man found it, but to get it, he had to go and sell it. It said with joy he went and sold all that he had, and he went and got that pearl of great price. Tonight, if you're not saved, if you don't have an experience of victory in your life tonight, the Lord wants to give you one. And if you're saved tonight, but you have been struggling and you just haven't been finding that comfort and that rest and that victory in your life, and the Lord has shown you some things or some affections in your life that really you have not forsaken everything, but you've been trying to manage it, the Lord's wanting us just to come and put our hands up and surrender and say, Lord, I will follow you. And folks, God has something wonderful to give to each one of us here tonight if we will forsake all to follow him.